The book of John, we spent many weeks on this on Wednesday nights, chapter by chapter by chapter by chapter. It was great. We're not going to do that today, I hope. But here at the end of the book, there's just one chapter left. But in chapter 20, look what is said about this book. Verse number 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. It's as though John is saying, I know I just wrote 20 chapters, some of y'all ready to go eat lunch, but man, I didn't even cover a lot of the stuff. There's a lot more I could have wrote. And sometimes you think, man, he preached so long today. I could have preached longer. Some of you know that's true. But he said, this is why I shared what little bit I shared. Verse 31, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So now you just read 20 chapters of what Jesus has done. Now I want to tell you why I wrote that stuff. I wanted you to believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Savior, that Jesus is the Son of God. And don't just stop there. I also wanted you to believe that you might have life through his name. My life without Jesus is basically life through my name. What I can accomplish, what I can do, my authority to influence my life. But he said, you can have a whole different life than that. You can have a life that's through his name. Yes. Yes. Amen. He can do more with my life than I can do with my life. Amen. Amen. And so that's why he wrote that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have a life that is unlike any life you could have on your own. I want to preach for just a little bit that you might believe. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us right now. Lord Jesus, there is such an anointing in this place. There are believers praying right now. There are people that are led of your Spirit interceding right now. God, the atmosphere of worship by this tremendous team has opened the doors of our hearts that we might receive something from you. And right now, Lord, we're asking you to speak to our hearts by the authority of the Word of God and by the power that is in the name of Jesus Christ. We come against every distraction. We come against every doubt in Jesus' name. Help us to be believers, God, and receivers, God, of everything you have for us today in Jesus' name. One more time, just thank the Lord for hearing and answering that prayer. Oh, glory! 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 Praise God. You may be seated. I preach today that you might believe, because there are benefits that come with believing. I want to look at a few very quickly, but once I just spell them out through the Word of God, you'll say, wow, that's a benefit of believing. Look at Mark 16. It says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That is a benefit of believing. You can be saved if you will believe. He goes on to say, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That is a benefit of believing. Now, I probably should give a disclaimer. The benefit of believing is not that you get to handle snakes. No, if you look at the rest of the Bible, you're not going to find any indication that this verse is there to promote that we would be intentional about handling snakes. There's no other scripture that says we ought to on purpose drink deadly things as if to convince each other, man, I got a lot of faith. There's not even any scripture that says we ought to go chasing after devils. No, but it just gives us an indication that believing comes with benefits. And I happened to get myself in a dangerous situation. It was just an accident. And all of a sudden, we see an example of this where the apostle went and grabbed some wood and there was a snake that bit him. He didn't do that on purpose. It was an accident. But Jesus healed him. That's a benefit of being a believer. And certainly if there were someone that tried to poison us, we probably would call 911. But while we're waiting for the ambulance, in the name of Jesus, God, don't let this kill me. I need you to heal me. And there is a benefit of being a believer. Anybody ever been healed by the power of God? Come on now, let's be honest. There is something about believing. In fact, you can even lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And I know elders are called to pray, but believers have power too. Sister Mary Unz is here and she's in a Sunday school class with me earlier in the day from 10 to 10:45. And she gave a testimony today and I'm sorry I didn't give her get permission to share this, but it's over now. It's out now. She had a friend that had macular degeneration. Am I saying that right, Brother Ethan? Way to go, thanks. You gotta ask the people over here, they go to school. And she said her friend singled her out and said, I want you to pray for me. She prayed just a simple prayer. As far as I know, the building didn't shake, the angels didn't show up, but Jesus was there. And the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. That lady went for her checkup. Everything is cleared. There's no issue at all. She just had dinner with Sister Mary this past week. Said, thank you for praying for me. Hey, that's one of the benefits of being a believer. Praise the name of the Lord. The reality is there are many testimonies like that happening all the time here at this church and in many other churches because there are still believers in our community, in our world, in our generation. And these things that we're talking about today are being spoken of. They're in the Bible and they are written that you might believe, that you would say, wait a minute, if God would heal him, God can heal me. If God would bless her, God will bless me. And if God would save them, God can save us because there are benefits to believing. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There are many people that have enough faith to say, oh, I know there's a God. But this verse speaks of taking that faith beyond just that initial confidence that there is a God. It opens the door wide for each of us that believe there is a God to say, I am going to seek him. I am going to pray. I'm going to get in the Bible and read and understand who this God is. In fact, if you're like me, you might read something and say, I don't even know what that's talking about, but I'm going to keep reading until this Bible explains to me more and more of who God is. And the scripture says he will reward you if you will be diligent, if you will have a passion to pursue him. There are benefits to believing him. Praise God. In John 7, now Jesus is speaking, and we read verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He's using an occasion of a festival, and I won't go into it right now, but he's trying to appeal to the thirst that's in the soul of so many people. There must be more to life than this. I've tried to satisfy my thirst with friends, but I'm still thirsty. I try to satisfy my thirst with success, but I'm still thirsty. I even try to quench my thirst with entertainment or even with other things that just please the body, and yet my soul is so dry. It's like I'm in a desert. And Jesus says, stop everything, everybody. If anyone thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Look at the next verse. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now just keep that right there. I'm not going to ruin your lunch by taking hours to talk about this verse. But I do want you to get just a simple understanding. He talks about the Spirit. He calls the Spirit the Holy Ghost. He makes the point that it was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Just a simple Bible study here. When you receive the Holy Ghost, that is the Spirit of God. That's Jesus Christ, who was on this earth in bodily form. Now he comes to you in the Spirit, like the air we breathe. Breathe. You breathe it in and out. You don't see it, but as long as it's there, you're going to survive. That's the Spirit of God. And Jesus was saying, if you are thirsty for more out of life, if you are a believer, you should be a receiver. A receiver of what? Of the Spirit of God, of the Holy Ghost, that will be like a well springing up in your soul. It's the Spirit of God that's available, because Jesus was alive, then he died, but he lives again, and he rose up above into the heavens, but now he's brought us his Spirit. I'm a little bit excited about this, because there are benefits of being a believer. Are there any believers? Now, before you raise your hand, is there anybody that knows what it's like? You remember the day when the Spirit of God, when Jesus Christ came into your heart. I'm talking about, it was like a well. It was like living water. Is there anybody that can just raise a hand and say, I'm not embarrassed. You may think I'm crazy, but I received the Holy Ghost. You know why you received the Holy Ghost? Because you are a believer. There are benefits to being a believer. And I preach to somebody today that Jesus delights in filling people with his Spirit. Jesus delights in blessing the lives of those that believe in him. But Jesus has limited himself to responding to our faith. A little faith. A little Jesus, a lot of faith, a lot more Jesus, a lot more Jesus. Now, I'm not trying to minimize God as though we can do anything to manipulate who he is, but our access to him is governed by our faith in him. Look at Romans chapter 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Skipping to verse 16, it says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? If you put that into our day, it's as if the scripture is saying, I want to bless believers. I want to save believers. I want to heal believers. And yet when the word of God is preached, not everybody's going to believe. In fact, there's going to be some that say, man, that's kind of cute, but that's not for me. But the Lord is saying, if you can believe my word, I can impact your life in a supernatural way. And so verse 17 says this, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God has designed his word to increase our faith. I don't want to judge anybody in the building, but I guarantee you, you will find a correlation between those that read their Bible and those that believe their Bible. Those that hear preaching and those that believe preaching. There is a connection when you get somebody that pushes away every doubt and every distraction, and they say, there's a whole lot of stuff I don't understand. There's a whole lot of stuff I don't know, but I'm going to get in the Bible and I'm going to believe what God said. You find somebody like that, and I'm telling you, they've got the benefits. They've got the blessings. They've got the testimonies. They've got the miracles, because hearing the word of God increases our faith. Reading the word of God increases our faith. Obeying the word of God increases our faith. Now you get ready for an amen, because I ain't preaching to you, I'm preaching to Joey. Are you ready? It's got to be a good one, because he's from New York. No matter how much God you got right now, if you will get in the Bible a little bit more, your faith will go up. No matter how much religion you have right now, if you will read your Bible intentionally, maybe even not every day, but many more days than perhaps you've read it this past week. And I'm not talking about Joey right now. But think about it. No matter where you are in your walk with God, if you will say, here am I, Lord. I am a believer, but I want my faith to grow. I want my faith to expand so that I can receive more of the blessings of being a believer. So I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to listen to the preaching. I'm going to obey the word of God. In fact, I'm going to say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I've seen some healings, but I want to see more healings. I've seen some miracles, but I want to see more miracles. So get me more of the word of God. More reading, more studying, more preaching, more believing, because I want my faith. Because John said, the reason why I wrote all this stuff is that ye might believe. There's a whole lot of stuff I didn't write. But what has been written has been strategically placed in the Bible and miraculously preserved to our day, that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. All right, so listen. This is probably the most important question that you'll be asked today. I know I've been a little bit silly, but there's nothing silly about this. What would it take to get you to believe? Wherever your faith is right now, what would it take to elevate that faith to another level? Well, I got an easy answer. Seeing is believing. Sure. That seems to be the common answer. Let me see more miracles, God. Let me see some signs, some wonders. Do some tricks, God. Because then I can believe. If you look at John 20, that's the position that Jesus Christ was in. Because there was a man in that chapter, you read about it, named Thomas, who said, I will not believe. Because he had seen Jesus die. And he said, there's no way Jesus I saw dead is alive. He said, I got to see the nail prints in my hands. I got to see the nail prints in his feet. I got to see it if I'm going to believe it. And you know what Jesus did? He appeared to Thomas. Look, Thomas, don't be faithless. Be a believer. And Thomas literally fell down on his face and said, my Lord and my God. If you were to study the background of Thomas, he was raised in the heritage of the Old Testament Hebrew people that believed there was only one God. And so when he fell on his face and worshiped a man, Christ Jesus, he was saying, you are more than a man. You are every bit human, but you are every bit divine. You are my Lord and my God. Everything that I've studied from the Hebrew scriptures that pointed to a God that would bring a Messiah, you are that God, and you have become my salvation. You are my Lord and my God. But look at what Jesus says. Are you ready? John 20, verse 29. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. It is in that context that the very next verse says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You know what John is telling us? Jesus walked on this earth and he did more miracles than we can write books about. He answered more prayers than we can write books about. In fact, when he stood before doubting Thomas, he showed him the nail prints that were in his hands. He showed him the nail prints that were in his feet. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. I just have a feeling that if Jesus Christ were to stand here in physical form and you could see the nails or the prints where the nails were, you could see the prints in his feet. You could see where the blood flowed. You could see the marks where the crown of thorns. There would probably be very few people that would stay in the pew. So many of you would want to get as close to Jesus as you could. And you would say, my Lord and my God, I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. You're my Savior. And I want you to know I would do anything for you, whatever you want. Here I am. Wouldn't that be a fun way to build churches in North America? Because we have so much cynicism and we have so much speculation because there is so much fake and phony in our world, in politics, in religion, in every sphere. And yet Jesus says to Thomas, you believe because you have seen, but there are going to be some people in Winston-Salem in the year 2017, they're going to just believe me because it is written they are going to believe me just because of my word. They are going to believe me because as they are thumbing through the pages of their Bible, they just start reading as if to say, if it's in this book, I believe it. If it's in the word of God, I trust it. And the Lord said, blessed are they which have not seen, but they still believe. And so John said, wait a minute, stop everything. I know we could talk about all kinds of signs, and I know we could talk about all kinds of wonders and all kinds of miracles, but let's just point people to the word of God, because the word of God works. And if somebody will hear it and believe it, that will change everything. If somebody will read it and believe it, that will change everything. These are written that you might believe. Amen. Look at Luke chapter 16. I may not get much further than this, but this is a good one here. Jesus tells a story. See, I got this rich man and this beggar, and they both die. And the beggar, he makes it to a place of paradise, a place of peace, a place where there's no more tears, no more sorrow. But the rich man, it's as if he has been brought to a place of torment. Maybe he was so busy that he didn't take time to really know God. Who knows? Jesus doesn't really say. But what Jesus does say is that that rich man that is in torment, he cries out and he says, Luke 16 and verse 28, would you send this beggar to my brothers? Because my brothers have been living the way I've been living before I died. I have five brethren. Let him go testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. When Jesus told this story, Moses and the prophets were long dead and buried. But what we had was their words. We had the scriptures of the Old Testament. And Jesus is telling this story. And look what he says. The rich man says, nay, Father, no, Abraham. If one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded the one rose from the dead. These are written that you might believe. Now, this is a little bit rough. But Jesus would say to you today, don't pretend that if you saw more miracles, you would serve me differently. Don't pretend if I answered a few more prayers, you'd really be a believer. If you cannot believe my word, if you cannot act upon my word, even if somebody rose from the dead, it wouldn't change anything. The good news is, if you can say, God, if I don't ever see another miracle, I'm going to trust your word. If I don't see another answer to prayer, I'm going to obey your word. You know what's going to happen? There are benefits to you believing. You will see God work in ways that will astound you. You will see God work in ways that will amaze you. Because God is not on trial, folks. God doesn't have to do anything to convince you to believe in him. He's God whether you believe in him or not. But the way God works is if you say, God, you don't have to do anything for me to believe you. I just believe what's in your word. I just believe what's in the Bible. And God, there's some stuff in this Bible I don't even understand, but the stuff I do understand, I choose to believe it. I choose to accept it because I want to be a believer. And if you're like that today, the miracles will come, the blessings will come, the victories will come, because these are written that you might believe. Oh, could you clap your hands and shout unto God as if to say, hey, Jesus, I'm a believer. Hey, Jesus, I'm a believer. Hey, Jesus, I'm a believer. So I beg you, and I'm going to wrap this up. I want to keep going, but I'm going to wrap it up. I beg you to read the Bible with a mindset, I will believe God's word is true. Now, I'm in a situation where I get to interact, and I'm not talking about anybody here today, but I just want to give you a little bit from my perspective. I'm right now in a situation where I get to interact with some of the most sincere people, God-loving, God-fearing people. But can I tell you something? They are being presented information about the Bible that caused them to say, well, I'm a Christian, that's settled, but there might be a God, there might not be a God. Jesus maybe lived and died and lived again, or maybe he was just a good man. And these folks are God-fearing people, God-loving people. But there is something that probably has been afoot since the day this was written. If I could just get people to believe that it's a good book, but it's not God's book, that those are nice ideas, but that's not God speaking to us. If I could just get those people to believe that, they might still be Christians and they might still be religious, but they will lose the supernatural. They will have a form of godliness, but there will be no power. And God is calling us in this generation. Whether we see any signs or wonders up to this point, and I know we've seen a lot. I know there's a lot of miracles sitting on these pews, but regardless of just the evidence from experience, there is a higher order of evidence, and that is, if it is in the Bible, I will believe it. If it's in the Bible, you're not going to steal it from me. If it's in the Bible, you're not going to cause me to doubt it. I just believe it. So read the Bible with a mindset that says, I will believe God's word is true. In the last few weeks, I've literally read thousands of pages from people that act like it's just another book. You know why? Because I want to see where all the confusion is. I want to see why. There are good people that just can't believe that he still heals, that he still delivers, that you can still feel him. And I'm going to bring this to you in another setting. But I can tell you right now, if you read and read and read, you will discover there are brilliant scholars that believe Jesus was just a man. And the Bible is just a book. But you can also read from brilliant scholars that believe Jesus is God and the Bible is his word. So you stack up all of the scholars that don't believe and all the scholars that do believe. You know what I've discovered? It's still going to take faith. You know where you're going to get your faith? These are written that you might believe. Don't come to me and tell me you don't believe if you haven't been in the book praying, God, show me who you are. God, help this to make sense. If all you've been doing is hanging out on the internet and coming up with every proof positive that God is dead and the Bible is fake, I don't want to hear that, because the internet is not created that you might believe. The library is not created that you might believe. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son. If you would get in this book and you would study with a heart that says, show me who you are, show me what your will is, show me what your plan is, I guarantee you God will reveal himself to you, because these are written that you might believe. Oh, would all the believers clap their hands? Would all the believers lift their voice? Would all the believers say, I've read it and I believe it? I've studied it, and I believe it. I've seen it, and I believe it. You may be seated for just a moment. So some will say, you can't believe that that's the word of God. Yes, you can. If you'll read it, if you'll study it with a heart that says, reveal yourself. Yes, you can. Some will say, you can't believe that those miracles happened and they still happen. Yes, you can. These are written that you might believe. And if you will get in here and you will study and say, God, show me, you'll see stuff that'll, I hate to use this terminology, it'll flip you out. You'll be telling your friends, you won't believe what God showed me. You will be. And they'll say, no, you're right, I don't believe it. You know why I don't believe it? Because these are written. If they don't read what's written with an attitude that says, show me, God. Some will say, you can't believe Jesus is alive. Yes, you can. Because these are written that you might believe. If you're struggling with that, get back in that book. And don't say, all right, God, you better show me. No, no, no. Jesus, I want to know you. So when I'm reading, God, I could be watching TV, Lord, but I'm just going to read until you reveal yourself to me. I go out and party with my friends, and there may be time to get together with friends, Lord, especially if there's food. But right now, God, I just got to believe. I need you to show me something I can believe in. Some will say, you don't believe that Jesus is here. Right now, you can't believe that. Oh, yes, you can. Because these are written that you might believe. You know, somebody might be sitting here saying, you can't believe that if I come to the altar and I really give my heart to Jesus and I make a commitment to his word, that the rest of my life is going to be forever changed. You can't believe that. Oh, yes, I can. Because these are written that you might believe. And I've been doing so much reading through the years that I've just believed it and believed it. And sure enough, people have come down to the altar and they've come with all kinds of mess and all kinds of doubt and all kinds of sin. But just putting faith in Jesus Christ from hearing the preaching of the word and just one service changes everything. How can you believe that? Because these are written that you might believe. Would you bow your heads with me right now? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the authority of the word of God, God, I ask you to heal somebody before we leave here today. I know we prayed before and some were healed, but God, there's still someone that when we all come to the altar, they may be feeling pain in their body right now. And I'm asking you, Lord, if they put their faith in you today, for you to immediately cause that pain to go away instantly while they're worshiping you. Lord, show them your power. There may be other needs here that are so serious, so dangerous, Lord, situations in people's lives that they've reached a point where they realize without God, it's hopeless. It's hopeless. Jesus, if the preaching of your word has given them just enough faith to come to the altar and raise their hands today and say, I give it to you, Jesus, give them a miracle that demonstrates your power and your love that changes them forever. Because more than anything, Lord, we want to experience life through your name. We want to see what happens, God, when we call on the name of Jesus with faith believing that you will heal every sickness. You will touch every disease. You will help every wounded heart. And you will save every lost soul. Would you stand right now, right where you are? And if you're comfortable doing this, would you say, Jesus, forgive me for every doubt and every distraction, every person in the building. Jesus, if there's anything in my life, in my heart, that would cause me to stay right where I am in my relationship with you. I'm not talking about your position in this building. I'm not trying to force anybody to come to the altar, but I'm talking about your position in your relationship with God. If your faith has brought you just to where you are right now, and there's anything keeping you from going deeper, maybe something you cannot even articulate, but could you just say, Jesus, forgive me for anything that keeps me from more of you. Jesus, forgive me for any doubt, any distraction, any sin, any self-centeredness, any cynicism, any of this world's philosophy that has inundated our lives until we don't even believe there is a truth. Forgive us for that, God. I would want you to even be bold enough, and I can pray this prayer, God, if I have not been in your word enough for my faith to build up, for my faith to increase, for my faith to take me to another level, forgive me for that. If I haven't been in your word enough to push away some of those speculations that you won't answer my prayer, you won't give me my miracle, God, right now I'm asking you to forgive me for that. Because these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. With every eye closed, every head bowed, the only people I want to look around are those people that would be bold enough to come to this altar and stand. Just say, excuse me, sir, excuse me, ma'am. You would come to this altar and stand. You would just raise your hands and say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you are my Savior, and I believe that you will give me a greater life through your name. As I call on your name, as I worship your name, as I surrender to your name. Perhaps there may be somebody here that needs to be baptized in the name of Jesus. I'm not talking about a Pentecostal tradition or some other religious tradition. I'm talking about saying, you know what, preacher, I've been baptized before, but I don't even think I was baptized in Jesus' name. I'd like to make that different today. I'd like to experience life through his name. If you need a healing, would you come and let us call on the name of Jesus, because there's life through his name. If you need a financial miracle, would you come and let us call on the name of Jesus, because there's life through his name. If you've got a situation on your job or in your family that seems hopeless, would you come to the altar and just begin to confess your faith between you and God, and let us pray for you that you might experience life through his name. Everybody come that wants to come right now. Everybody come that wants to come right now and just confess your faith. Just confess your faith. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus is my Savior. I believe that Jesus is Messiah. God, come to be my salvation. I believe that Jesus is here and anything can happen. I believe that Jesus is alive and he's in this place today to change my life.
Your majesty.
Come on, come on, if you're here and you believe, would you just raise your hand?